Hosea chapter 4. It's right after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 4. And we want to read just one verse, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. And that's the reason that they are destroyed, for lack of knowledge. God is writing to people who have rejected knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forsaken the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts from your word tonight and teach us what an incredible verse of scripture this is. And we pray for a few moments that you would give us strength. It's been a long day. People are tired. They've worked. But we pray that you might revive us from your word for a few moments as we study it together. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to think about this verse and how it applies to our nation in this hour. I guess this is a little different kind of message maybe than I normally bring, but these are things that have been on my heart for the last couple of weeks, and I'd like to share them with you tonight. 2 weeks ago, today, in fact, there was another school shooting in this country. This one took place at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. 17 people were killed, 14 were wounded. The shooter was a young man by the name of Nicholas Cruz. He is 19-year-old. He was a former student who had been expelled last year. And as we've seen in the previous school shootings in this country, the left and their mouthpieces and allies in the media have managed to make the debate not about the killer, Nicholas Cruz. The outrage and anger concerning this young man is strangely missing. The debate is not primarily about the Broward County Sheriff's Department. In spite of the fact that records obtained from the sheriff's office by CNN show the law enforcement agency received at least 45 calls for service relating to Cruz or his brother from 2008 to 2017 before the attack at Stoneman Douglas High School on February 14th. The sheriff's office has insisted it received no more than 23 calls for service regarding Cruz or his family. I don't know. Is 23 enough? Would seem so. But that's not the focus of the debate. The focus of the debate is not the FBI. Even though the FBI admitted 2 days after the shooting that it received a detailed tip about the shooter. They received it in January, but they failed to follow up and investigate. No, the focus of the debate centers around the gun, the semi-automatic rifle, the AR-15. The left knows how to use words. They are exactly the way the Lord Jesus described them in Luke chapter 16 and verse 8, where he said, "The children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." And they are. They know how to use words to paint images in people's minds. Part of the purpose of this message tonight is to arm us with knowledge so that we can fight back against the lack of knowledge in this country that the God haters and the leftists and the liberals, all those who hate freedom, are using to, little by little, chip away at our individual liberty, the unalienable rights that God has given to us. The media in this country and their pawns, unfortunately, in both parties, have militarized this word, semi-automatic assault rifle, to demonize these words. We need to know what the term semi-automatic means. It means that when you pull the trigger, one bullet is fired. The empty shell casing is ejected, and another bullet is automatically loaded into the chamber and is ready to fire as soon as the trigger is pulled again. Semi-automatic means one trigger pull equals one bullet fired. And you can only fire them as fast as you can pull the trigger. Now that's in contrast to a fully automatic weapon. A machine gun from my generation is what you think of, where one trigger pull equals multiple rounds fired. In fact, a fully automatic weapon will fire until the trigger is released or the ammunition clip is empty. We need to understand these terms because the focus is on this AR-15 semi-automatic assault rifle. See how the terminology creates an image in your mind? There are a lot of hunting rifles out there that are available on the market that are semi-automatic. The AR-15 just happens to be one of them. But that's the focus. I'd like to give you some numbers. And I know that numbers can get, you can get off in the weeds in numbers, so I'll try not to get in the weeds with these. There are numbers that come from the FBI, interestingly enough, I assume we can trust them, come from their Uniform Crime Report. 2016 is the latest figures that they've released. And in 2016, there were 15,070 murders. 15,070 murders. 374, that's 2.5% of them, were committed with rifles. That's as fine as the report is broken down. So the number of murders committed with AR-15s is less than that, because all 374 murders were not committed with AR-15s. They're a subset of that number. And yet that's where a great deal of the attention is from the shooting. And there's a reason for this. The attempt here, as always, is to attack the Second Amendment. But now they're trying to do it in a little more subtle way. The thinking goes like this. When the Second Amendment was ratified in 1791, the founders could not have known how one day we would have repeating arms, how we would have multi-shot weapons. All they knew about was firing one shot and then having to stop and reload. They had to put the ball in the barrel, and they had to pour the gunpowder in. They had to have the wadding. And then when they got all of that taken care of, they could fire again. And sometimes that took a little while. So the argument is that this is the setting, this is the context of the Second Amendment as it was written in 1791. And so because of the advances that we've had in technology, we need to revisit the Second Amendment. We need to modify it to fit our day and to fit our times. That argument sound familiar to you vaguely? Kind of goes back to where all of this started, doesn't it? With the Word of God. It needs to be modified. It needs to be amended. It needs to be brought up into the language of our day. The only problem with that line of thinking is what Ronald Reagan said about liberals many years ago. He said, they know so many things that aren't true. And folks, truth is what we want. True knowledge is what we want, because God says that lack of knowledge leads to destruction. The same kind of destruction that Israel and Judah experienced. Captivity, tyranny, loss of freedom. I want to do something that I don't do very often, but this article is so good that I've tried to shorten it down, but it says some things that I think are very important for us to know. It's written by a man named David Koppel. Mr. Koppel is editor-in-chief of the Journal on Firearms and Public Policy. He's also the director of research for the Independence Institute. And he wrote an article entitled Firearms Technology and the Original Meaning of the Second Amendment. And that's what I want to read to you from. He says, gun control advocates often argue that gun control laws must be more restrictive than the original meaning of the Second Amendment would allow, because modern firearms are so different from the firearms of the late 18th century. This argument is based on ignorance of the history of firearms. It is true that in 1791, the most common firearms were handguns or long guns that had to be reloaded every shot. But it is not true that repeating arms, which can fire multiple times without reloading, were unimagined in 1791. To the contrary, and I want you to listen to these dates very carefully. To the contrary, repeating arms long predate the 1606 founding of the first English colony in America. As of 1791, repeating arms were available but expensive. This article is going to explain that. One of the men to credit for why repeating arms became much less expensive during the 19th century is James Madison, the father of the Constitution and the author of the Second Amendment. During Madison's presidency, his Secretary of War, James Monroe, successfully promoted legislation to foster the development of firearms technology, in particular the federal armories at Springfield, Massachusetts, and Harpers Ferry, Virginia, were ordered to invent the means of producing firearms with interchangeable parts. That is what was needed. Interchangeable parts that could be manufactured cheaply, that's what was needed. Making a repeating arm, Mr. Koppel says, required much more time and expertise than making a single-shot firearm. How to make repeating arms was well known, but making them at a labor cost the average person could afford was impossible. Thanks to the technology innovation labs created at Springfield and Harpers Ferry, inventors found ways to manufacture firearm components at a higher rate and with more consistency for each part, instead of every part being made by hand. Parts were manufactured with machine tools. What kind of repeating arms were available before 1815, when the Madison-Monroe mass production innovation program began? The state of the art was The state of the art was the Ghirardelli air rifle, invented around 1779 for Austrian army sharpshooters. Lewis and Clark would carry this gun on their famous expedition during the Jefferson administration. The Ghirardelli could shoot 21 or 22 bullets in 46 or 49 caliber without reloading. A single shot from the Ghirardelli could penetrate a 1-inch wood plank or an elk, if that's what you decided to do. The first repeaters had been invented, listen, about 3 centuries earlier, 300 years. The earliest known model is a German breech-loading matchlock from around 1490 to 1530 with a 10-shot revolving cylinder. Production of repeaters continued in the 1600s. Four-barreled wheel-lock pistols could fire 15 shots in a few seconds. The first repeaters to be built in large quantities appeared to be the 1646 Dutch flintlocks that used a pair of tubular magazines and can fire 30 shots without reloading. Like a modern lever-action rifle, the next shot was made ready by a simple two-step motion of the trigger guard. The guns were produced for the Danish and Dutch armies. Here in this country, in 1722, John Pym of Boston entertained some Indians by demonstrating a firearm he had made. Although loaded but once, it was discharged 11 times following with bullets which went through a double door at 50 yards distance. Another repeating flintlock invented by Philadelphia's Joseph Belton could fire 8 shots in 3 seconds. So, to me, this is incredible history. I didn't know anything about it. But this is the kind of knowledge that supports liberty and freedom. It is not true that the founders didn't know about repeating arms. And the technology that was necessary to create them, they did know about it when they wrote the Second Amendment. They did know. And not only did they know, but James Madison, the father of the Constitution, the author of the Second Amendment, worked to improve firearm technology so that repeating arms could be made more efficiently so that the price would come down, which would make those arms, these evil repeating arms, available to more and more people. And so the Second Amendment does not have to be revisited. It's already up to date. It was up to date when it was written. And then Mr. Koppel makes one of these points that is so brilliant. You just wish you had been the person to think of it, is all that I can tell you. You won't hear this in the mainstream media. Mr. Koppel says, "No one would dispute that modern arms are much improved from 1791 in terms of reliability, accuracy, range, and affordability. But the gap from the 22-shot Ghirardelli to a modern firearm is pretty small compared with the changes in technology of the printing press. Compared to the one-sheet-at-a-time printing presses of 1791, the steam and rotary presses invented in the 19th century made printing vastly faster, a speed improvement that dwarfs the speed improvement in firearms in the last 500 years. When the First Amendment was written, a skilled printer could produce 250 sheets in 2 hours. Today, a modern newspaper printing press can produce 70,000 copies of a newspaper consisting of dozens of sheets in an hour. This means, and this is his point, this means that irresponsible media can cause far more harm today than they could in 1791. For example, in 2005, he tells how Newsweek published a story how Americans at the Guantanamo Bay had desecrated Korans that belonged to the prisoners. Newsweek eventually retracted the story, but the phony story had spread around the world. It set off riots in 6 countries, and more than 30 people were killed. Had Newsweek been using 18th century presses, the false story would have been mostly read by a few thousand people in New York City, where Newsweek is based. It would have been months, if ever, before the Newsweek issue with the false story was read by anyone in Pakistan or Afghanistan. And then he says this, "We do not limit any constitutional right to the technology that existed in 1791. In the Heller District of Columbia Supreme Court case, the justices said this, "Some have made the argument bordering on the frivolous that only those arms in existence in the 18th century are protected by the Second Amendment. We do not interpret constitutional rights that way. Just as the First Amendment protects modern forms of communications, and the Fourth Amendment applies to modern forms of search, the Second Amendment extends to all instruments that constitute bearable arms, even those that were not in existence at the time of the founding. This is an accurate statement of constitutional law, but it understates how truly frivolous the argument against modern firearms is. The people who ratified the Bill of Rights certainly did not anticipate the invention centuries later of the Internet or of thermal imaging sensors. The American people of 1791 did not have to anticipate the invention of repeating arms, because such arms had been in existence for centuries. Folks, this is the kind of knowledge that God's people need to have in order to avoid the destruction of our right to keep and bear arms, in order to avoid the destruction of our individual liberty. It's knowledge that exposes the lies and the deceit of the left in this country. The AR-15 rifle is not the problem in this country. It's a means to an end. It's a way to get to the Second Amendment and what the enemies of freedom really want, and that is to confiscate every firearm in this country. According to that FBI report for 2016, 73% of the murders that were committed in this country were committed with firearms. 47% were committed with handguns. That's what they want. That's what they want. They're just using the AR-15 as a way to get there. What you see in these rallies with these high school students are the signs that say, ban guns, no more guns, no more gun violence. Folks, that's not going to stop murders. Something else in the FBI report that I thought was very interesting. Part of it is humorous, and I'll go ahead and warn you, so it's okay if you think it's funny. I laughed for 2 or 3 minutes when I read it. If 73% of the murders in 2016 were committed with firearms, how were the other 27% committed? 1,604, that's 10.6%, were committed with knives or cutting instruments. 1,806, or 12%, were committed with other weapons. And here's the part I had to chuckle at. It's not funny, but it is. 656, and it's on the FBI report, 656 were committed with hands, fists, feet, etc. Hands and fists and feet. Now, did the people who committed those over 4,000 murders not have access to firearms? We don't know. The point is, they didn't need a firearm to commit murder. And that's why these numbers are important, because they prove exactly what God said about every human that's ever been born. Mark 7:21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Murder is not in the firearm. Murder's not in the knives or cutting instruments. Murder's not in the other weapons. Murder's not in the hands and fists and feet. Murder's in the heart of man. You see, the instrument of murder is not the issue. The issue is the heart. That's why it's so pitiful to hear these young people and their parents who've been directly affected by this shooting say, never again, never again. That's one of the popular hashtags on Twitter right now, never again. When you hear that chant or you see that sign, what you're seeing are people who have been destroyed for lack of knowledge. Destroyed for lack of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The children in this country have been denied the fear of the Lord. They've been denied the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. They've been denied the knowledge of the holy. The knowledge of the holy God who came into this world. The Creator God who left the glories of heaven and came into this world and went to the cross of Calvary and shed His blood and gave His life that we might be saved. They've been denied the knowledge of His holy word that tells that story. This nation rejected knowledge in 1962 when prayer was removed from the public school. This nation rejected knowledge in 1963 when Bible reading was removed from the public schools. This nation rejected knowledge in 1980 in the case Stone versus Graham, when the Supreme Court ruled, quote, "It is unconstitutional for students to see the Ten Commandments since they might read, meditate upon, respect, or obey them." I wonder how many of the parents of all these school shootings wished from the bottom of their hearts that these killers who murdered their children had been able to read and meditate upon and respect and obey the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." This nation has rejected knowledge, and God has rejected this nation. America has forgotten the law of our God, and God has forgotten the children of this nation. You can come to no other conclusion. And they can have all the demonstrations they want. They can have all the walkouts they want. Folks, I've never seen a reaction to a school shooting, not even Sandy Hook, like we're seeing on this one. They had walkouts today at schools in Raleigh at a certain time. The students got up, walked outside to protest gun violence. You see, they're going to gather in Washington on March the 24th. It's called the March for Our Lives rally. They're expecting 500,000 people there. They can do all those things. But Proverbs 11:21 says, "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished." They can have all the slogans and hashtags, and they can have people stand in the pride of their hearts and say, "Never again." They can do that all they want. But God says in Proverbs 16:5, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." I'll tell you what's incredible. In spite of all the publicity and all the demonstrations and all of the never agains, I woke up Monday morning early, cut on the news. First thing I heard, security has been stepped up today at Pinecrest High School in Southern Pines, North Carolina, because of a threat of violence that had been received. And even though it was found not to be a credible threat, according to law enforcement, it was still made. Over in Cumberland County, there's a young man I heard today. He made a threat. I apologize. I didn't catch the name of the school. But they've now raised his bond. He's in jail. They've raised his bond to $125,000 because of the threat that he made against the school over there. Never again? Never again? I don't think so. Someone said last week, very true, heard it on fellow say on the radio, the next killer is already out there. And he's planning his attack. He's already planning the murder. And he's out there and he's planning it not because there's murder in an AR-15 or because there's murder in any other weapon. He's not out there planning that because the NRA promotes murder. Let me just say something about the NRA, if I might. They've taken a lot of blame for this shooting in Florida. They had nothing to do with it. So much has been the blame against the NRA that a number of companies, you can go online and read the names of them, big-time companies, have broken their associations with them. I'll give you two things that's positive about that. Number one is FedEx. FedEx wanted nothing to do with that. Another one is the lieutenant governor of Georgia. I like this guy. Never heard of him. But he has threatened to block a proposed tax break for Delta Airlines. He's the president of the Georgia Senate as the lieutenant governor. He's proposed to block a tax break for Delta Airlines unless the Atlanta-based carrier restores a discount program for National Rifle Association members that was pulled in the wake of the shooting in Parkland, Florida. In the latest fallout from the mass shooting, Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle said that he would kill legislation to give the airline a sales tax exemption on jet fuel. By the way, according to what I read today, it's worth $50 million to Delta. Good for him. Unless the company changes its position and fully reinstates its relationship with the powerful gun rights advocacy group. That was put in there. The Casey Cagle didn't say that. That was the CNN put that in there. But Mr. Cagle did say corporations cannot attack conservatives and expect us not to fight back. Amen. Join the NRA if you've never joined. Cost you $40. But to let them know, we've got to stand for what is right. The NRA is not promoting murder. They're the biggest promoters of gun safety in this country. But the point is, the next shooter is already out there. And he's already out there planning his attack because there's murder in his heart. And he's been destroyed for lack of knowledge. The knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of the holy God, and the knowledge of his holy word that is understanding. And he's been deprived of this knowledge by the government of the United States. And yet, who do people run to in these situations and demand that they do something? They run to the people that are the problem. Ronald Reagan said, government can't solve the problem. Government is the problem. We're talking about the government that missed 45 tips on Nicholas Cruz. People go to the government whose FBI failed to follow up on an incredibly detailed lead about Nicholas Cruz, including his name and the fact that he wanted to be a professional school shooter. They go to the government whose Air Force failed to follow procedures and alert federal law enforcement about a man by the name of Devin Kelly, whose violent past they failed to report. And because they did that, it allowed him to buy firearms and body armor and kill 26 people at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Folks, people appeal to the government instead of falling on their faces and appealing to God. Instead of falling on our faces before God and humbling ourselves and praying and seeking his face and turning from our wicked ways, government is not the answer. God is the answer. The fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of knowledge. The knowledge of the holy that is understanding, that's the answer for America. But when you suggest that, you're a nut. There's something wrong with you when you suggest that. I'm very nervous about all this talk about mental health and people with mental health issues don't need to have guns. And we all agree with that on a certain level, but folks, I want to hear the specifics. Because there are people tonight, there are people in government, there are people in the medical profession who would tell their colleagues that you and I are mentally ill. We better be very careful about what laws are passed in the midst of a crisis like that. You're the nut if you suggest that God is judging America. You just don't have any knowledge of the way that things work. The depths to which a nation sinks when it calls good evil, when it calls prayer in school evil, when it calls Bible reading in school evil, when it calls the Ten Commandments evil, you reach the depths of being rejected by God. And when a nation is rejected by God, a good suggestion. See, this verse, I've been thinking about it. Thou hast rejected knowledge. Those words have so many tentacles. We've rejected knowledge. What you and I would call common sense knowledge, like arming teachers in the classroom. That becomes evil. And it's rejected because we've rejected knowledge in this country. I appreciate President Trump bringing that up, and I hope he sticks to it. The truth is that schools are gun-free zones in this country. And so you know the only people who will have guns on a school campus, legally, outside of maybe a resource officer? The only people that will have guns on a school campus are those who have come there to do harm. Folks, killers go to gun-free zones to do their killing. That's the elephant in the room that's being ignored. John Lott is a man who has done a tremendous amount of research on guns. He wrote a book called More Guns, Less Crime. He was interviewed last week, and he mentioned James Holmes. I couldn't remember James Holmes' name, and you may not either, but you'll remember what he did. He's the man who murdered 12 people and wounded, I think, something like 70 others at a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado in 2012. And what Mr. Lott said in the interview is something that I never heard on the media's coverage of that event. He said there were 7 theaters in the Aurora, Colorado area that night that were showing that, I think it was a Batman movie. 6 of the 7 allowed concealed carry weapons. Guess which one James Holmes went to? He went to the one that did not allow concealed carry. And we have that knowledge, and it's being rejected. Mr. Creech has a bill. And Mr. Creech, you correct me if I'm wrong. It was written by Return America and Dr. David Gibbs III and the Churches for Life and Liberty. And it needs to be passed by the North Carolina General Assembly that would allow teachers to have guns in the classroom. Is that right? But it's an uphill fight. And it'll be even more uphill if we keep our mouth shut. We elected a Republican public instruction, the guy who's over the public education in this state, a moderate Republican, whatever that means. I think his name is Mark Johnson. He just came out yesterday and said he opposes that. He's against it. Okay. You can be against it if you want to be. But folks, if we're going to keep God out of the classroom, we better put guns in the classroom. Because the problems are coming. And they're going to become more and more prevalent. The issue that we're dealing with is not guns, though. The issue that we're dealing with is not the NRA. The issue that we're dealing with is liberty and freedom. That's what's at stake. If the Second Amendment goes, then there'll be absolutely no way to protect any other of the freedoms of the Bill of Rights. And what's the first freedom in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights? It's freedom of religion. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's the issue. And we need the knowledge of the truth. The Lord Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said that his word is truth. That's the knowledge of the truth that we need to preach and stand for. It's what was preached by the founders of this nation, by the Black Regiment. The favorite verse, I was reading something this week, of all the liberty verses in the New Testament, the favorite verse of the Black Regiment in this country was Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, they understood that first and foremost, that verse is talking about spiritual freedom. But they also understood that close behind that, that verse was talking about civil, political freedom. That's why it was one of their favorite verses, because it brought both of those things together. Because if you've got tyranny, the first thing to suffer is going to be religion. And not just any religion. The religion that will suffer is the religion of Jesus Christ. I got to stop. But we need to stand for the truth. And we need to have knowledge. We need to understand these things and not be afraid to share them with those around us. This message is also a reminder to pray for Calvary Christian School. Pray for the school every day. First thing when you get up in the morning, pray for the safety of this school. Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. And we pray that you would take these things and use them for your glory and honor. We thank you for the freedom that we have here. And we're so blessed to have it. And we pray that we would be zealous to defend it. Not just so that we can live the way that we want to live and enjoy the things that we enjoy, but Father, so that we can proclaim your word and stand for your truth and teach our children. We don't want to be guilty of not giving them the knowledge that they need. The knowledge that they need to know of the truth that is in Christ Jesus, the truth that is in your word. We just ask you to help us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.